We'll consider ourselves adjourned from conference, and we will turn in our Bibles to the book of Mark. Now, we'll just mention to the church some things we've been thinking about, asking about. You know, the courthouse is, there's a group they've voted to put In God We Trust on the courthouse. And they do that. They've not asked for anything, but a lot of churches have been helping, and that's really how they fund that. What's the name of that? Rick Lanier is the man's name, but I can't remember the... U.S. Motto Action Committee. They're good brothers, and they're trying to get In God We Trust on every courthouse in North Carolina. There's 100 counties in North Carolina, so that might be something we want to think about, pray about in the future, so... just mention that by way of mention.
I talked to him when he called me a couple weeks ago. He said when they checked up here, it was a month or so back. I think we were about the 24th. But when I talked to him, they already had 30 counties that's wanted, plus I think 16 administrative counties.
Amen.
And they're planning on it in doing this, the courthouse and the administration building side on it.
Amen. Right.
So it's well-established Christian-based organization.
Amen. Amen. All right. So let's be thinking about that and praying about that. All right. We are in Mark chapter number 9. And I appreciate your good help in the business meeting. I think we got to everything we'd talked about the other night. But tonight we're going to read in Mark chapter 9. Several verses, verse 14 down through verse number 29. That's a lot of verses to look at in one night, but we're going to take them all together. Verse 14, the Bible said, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And if you're keeping up with it, this is... 43rd lesson that we've been in the book of Mark, and this passage of scripture we're going to look at tonight, it is found in Matthew, Mark, and the book of Luke. And Mark gives the most detail about what happens right here. In fact, it is more than twice what the other, what Matthew and Luke give. There's twice as many verses here in the book of Mark, so Mark gives a lot more detail than Matthew, and the book of Luke. And remember, we've been studying in chapter number 9, and last time Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples, and they're coming down off the mountain. This is where we pick up in verse number 14. But the whole picture is like our day today. Verses 1 through 13, Jesus is in glory with his disciples. But you get down to verse 14 through verse number 29, we are upon the earth. And there's much confusion in the world, and there's much consternation in the world. That means surprise and amazement, and we look around and see what's going on round about us, and we don't know what to do sometimes. Life and the world is a confusing, confounding place, and there's much compromise, and it seems like the whole world is just gone to the devil. Here's this boy, and he is possessed with the Bible says, a dumb spirit, a foul spirit. He's possessed by a devil, and it just seems like the whole world is going the way of the devil. But here's something that is encouraging. He's coming. He's on the way. He's in glory with his disciples, but when we left last week, he's coming down off the mountain. He's on the way, and he's going to set things right one of these days. And that's how chapter or verse number 14 begins. And when he came. And so it might look bad as we look around at what's happening in the world round about us, but praise the Lord, he's on the way. He's coming. He's going to set things right. He's coming from glory, and he's coming in power, and he's coming in great might. So there's a beautiful picture there in chapter number 9. Now, this is just interesting to me. I was looking back through my notes, and I know I've preached on this passage of scripture before here at church. So I looked back in my notes. I preached these same verses June the 10th, 2008. So this is exactly, 8 years later to the day. Then it was on a Sunday. Now June the 10th is on a Wednesday. I told Kim about that this morning. I just happened to notice that, and I said, what do you think that means? She said, I don't know. I said, it's probably nothing, but it's just interesting. You know, that 8 years later, you'd just come to the same place and preach from the same passage of Scripture. So that's just by way of information about it. I know some of you write in your Bibles where preachers have preached before, so you might have that, but we preach out of this passage of Scripture before. And the lessons here that it is teaching us, it's about faith. And it reminds us of the power of God, about what God is able to do. And he's able to do all things. But only Mark has this little bit of information that we find in verse number 23. This is only found in the book of Mark. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that's the title that I used before, the last part of verse number 24. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's a strange answer. That's a strange answer, because what he is saying to the Lord there, he's saying, I believe, but I don't believe. You have belief and unbelief in the same sentence there. He says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I was thinking about this today. I was mowing, and the thought came to my mind about being an unbelieving believer. There's a lot of those out there. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's how this man was. He had belief, but he had unbelief in the same sentence. And that is exactly how we are in our Christian lives many times. Let's point out some things in these verses. Number one, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. The first thing I want to point out there is an impossible situation. Now, if we were there, and I like to imagine, As I read my Bible, what if you were standing right there when this was taking place? What kind of scene would be before our eyes? In verse 16, the Bible said, "And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them?" They come down off the mountain, and there's a multitude gathered there. And they can tell there's something going on. And the Lord says, what are you talking about? What are you questioning about? Verse 17, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Just think about what that would be like if you were standing right there and seen this son and the terrible scene that's described there in verse number 18. And everybody sees this. The scribes seen it. The multitude seen it. The disciples seen it. The father seen it. The boy's situation would look to us helpless. I mean, if you've seen a boy and he's foaming at the mouth and wallowing on the ground, and the father's been with the disciples there and they've been talking and they've been praying and they're doing no good, that would look like a hopeless situation to us. And it was hopeless because this boy was obviously demon-possessed, or we might say devil-possessed. Verse number 17, the Bible said, "Unto thee, my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Verse number 21, the Bible said this, "And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." That's bad. This boy, he's not sick. You see, if you study church history, you'll find that there were times in the past where people had epilepsy, where people had seizures, and people, of course, they're familiar with things like this in the Bible, and a lot of times they would think somebody had a devil when really all they had was a sickness of some kind. That seizure of some kind. But now, this is different. This boy, this is not a physical problem he's got. He's got a spiritual problem. He is possessed with a dumb spirit. Matthew 17, verse 18, the Bible said, "And Jesus rebuked the devil." There was a devil that was in this boy. And this boy had a real spiritual problem in his life. The cause of it, verse number 17, was this dumb spirit. I know years ago, probably, I'm sure Kim and I were members at Mountaindale, so that's before Noah was born. And Preacher Jerry Honeycutt came over there and preached revival, and he preached a message on this dumb spirit. And every time I read that, I can hear him saying he had a dumb spirit. And that's the way he said it all the way through the message. When you see that dumb spirit there, that means mute. Evidently, this boy also could not talk. He could not speak by the influence of this spirit that possessed him. Matthew chapter 17, verse 15 said that his father said that he was a lunatic. That's where we get our word crazy from. I mean, this has been going on a long time now. He's got a dumb spirit. His father said he's a lunatic. He's crazy. We can't do anything with him. This is the cause of his spiritual problem. Matthew 17, 15 said that he was sore vexed by this spirit. That means he was greatly affected by this possession of this devil that he had. We would say today, boy, he was in bad shape. That was the cause of his spiritual problem. The consequence of his spiritual problem is found in verse number 18. The Bible said, "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him." What this spirit was doing to this boy, and what the devil does to every person that he can, he wants to destroy us. He said, "Wherever he taketh, he teareth him." That literally means that this spirit was trying to destroy him. And it goes on and it describes in verse 22, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, they'd be walking down the road or maybe at home and they've got a fire and they've got supper on the cooking over there. And this boy just, can you imagine that? It's all of a sudden cast into the fire. Father, maybe mother, it doesn't mention her, but they got to drag him out, try to save his life. And they're walking by the water and the boy's just crazy, going off in the water, trying to drown himself. Destruction. All the devil brings about in our lives is that he desires to eventually destroy us. In the short term or in the long term, it does not matter. He's got a problem. There's destruction. There's disfigurement in verse number 18. Said he teareth him and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth. Well, if you saw something like that, that'd probably bother you a long time. I was talking with somebody a while back and they were talking about movies, old movies. And man I was talking with said that the movie that he remembered the most was that movie in the 70s with the, and it just went out of my mind, but where the girl was demon possessed. What is that? Nobody wants to confess. The Exorcist. Said the movie, he said after seeing that, he was afraid to get up and go to the bathroom. I read about that one time in the 70s when that came out. I mean, there'd never been a movie like that before. And people literally would run screaming out of the theaters. And that was just in the movies. But what they seen about demon possession, it greatly affected them. And if you were there and you seen this boy foaming at the mouth and gnashing, biting his tongue, and blood running out of his mouth, bother you. It's a disturbing scene that we find in verse number 18. There's deterioration there. The Bible said in verse number 18 that he pineth away, teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. That pineth away, it literally, it means to shrivel up, to dry up. This boy is dying because of this. He's deteriorating as time goes by. And let me just point this out. We say, boy, I'd hate to see something like that. But the same thing is happening today all throughout our society. We see this evidence of this dumb spirit all round about us. And it is not that this boy wasn't just going through a phase in his life. This boy has a real problem and he's getting worse and worse and he's being destroyed before their very eyes. And how many times have we seen people out here and they have major problems and they're not getting any better, they're getting worse and they're pining away. And I've seen people and you've seen people that are literally through their actions destroying themselves. They're killing themselves. Suicide is a problem. Drug addiction is a problem. Alcohol addiction is a problem. Peer pressure is a, and on and on and on we could go. We have major problems in our society. This boy had a spiritual problem. And it seemed like an impossible situation because he was devil possessed. Seemed like an impossible situation because time would indicate that it was a permanent problem that he had. Verse number 17, the Bible said, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And if you look down to verse 21, the Bible said that Jesus, he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. He brought my son. Jesus said, how long? He said, since he was a child. Years have gone by. with this struggle, this fight that is going on in their family. Now, if it had been just a few days or a few weeks or even a few months, maybe they would have had more faith. But this has gone on for years. We know how things are in our lives. The longer trials go on, the longer things go on in our lives, the more we tend to just accept it. Just say, well, that's just the way it is. Or we look at that boy and we say, you know, they've tried everything to try to help that boy and nothing has ever helped him. That's just the way he is. I'm sure nobody in the community thought that he'd ever be any better or be any different. When things go on for a long time, we tend to, as it goes on, tend to lose hope. Tend to lose faith. This has gone on now a long time. I'm sure this father has just resigned himself to this is just the way of life. This is just the way it is. It's just our struggle that we have. Maybe he's used to it by now. Maybe he can't even remember what it was, what life was before. This boy's been this way since he was a child. So we see that it seems like an impossible situation because the boy is demon-possessed. He's been this way a long time, but this man hears about the Lord Jesus. He overcomes whatever it came to get there. He finds the disciples. The Lord's nowhere around. He's up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. But the disciples, they would say, you know, we've had some experience casting out devils. Let us pray over him. And they tried to pray over him. But we find here in this passage of Scripture that the disciples failed in prayer. We find that in verse number 18, the last part of the verse. He pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And notice what the Bible said. And they could not. They could not do that. And I just imagine that in my mind. How do you think that was? Did they take turns? Andrew, you give it a try. You give it a try. They all gathered around. They all prayed. They could not cast the devil out, but they had done it before. You remember over in chapter number 6? Look over there real quick. Just back a couple of pages. This is not something that they had no experience in. But they had cast out devils and healed people before. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 12 and verse number 13, the Bible said, and they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So it's not like the disciples were trying to do something that they'd never done before. It's not like they were grabbing hold of the horns of the altar that was forbidden for them to touch. They had been out. They had seen devils cast out before. But now they run up against a hard case. And they tried and they tried, but the Father said they could not. Now that'd be a blow to your faith as well. It's been this way a long time. The boy's obviously demon-possessed. The disciples tried, and they could not. We've all experienced things like that. We've been burdened about, praying about. We've prayed. We've went to the church. We've asked the church to pray. We've asked the preachers to pray. We've got friends that are praying. We've got all kinds of praying that is going on, and nothing changes. In fact, it seems to get worse. What do you do? It seems like an impossible situation. But we read on down in these verses, we find that there's an outstanding possibility. And we've already read that in verse number 22 through verse 24. The Father said, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, that's grasping at straws right there. when somebody comes to another person and, you know, they don't know what else to do. And you'll have somebody say that, if you can do anything. You ever heard anybody say anything like that? If you can do anything to help, we sure would appreciate it. He's just asking, I believe in that Father's phrase right there. If thou canst do anything, if he could be a little better, we'll take it. That's what he's saying. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. But now, look what the Lord Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. The question is never with the Lord, if thou canst do anything. Of course he can do something. Of course he can do the things that you and I deem to be impossible to do. But the Lord Jesus turned his faith around. The man said, the father said, if thou canst do anything. But Jesus turned it around. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst. See, there's two if thou canst there. The man said, if thou can do anything, help us. Jesus said, if thou canst believe. That's what it boils down to. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, we're here. We read the Bible. We know what happened. But if you were standing there like that father and you look over at your son and he's wallowing on the ground and foam is coming out of his mouth and that's all that you've dealt with for years and years now, I'm not going to fault that man for his unbelief. It'd be hard to believe. It'd be hard to look over at your son there and he's dying and pining away. But I notice this, the Lord Jesus Christ deals with the one that's closest to the situation. The Lord didn't call the disciples over there. Now, they're the ones that couldn't cast him out. In verse number 18, the man said, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. But the Lord didn't call the disciples over and rebuke them right there. Well, he did. He did. In verse 19, he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. But who he dealt with on a one-to-one was with that father. That father was the one that was the closest to the situation. And a lot of times we want to take our hard situation and we want to take it and put it off on somebody else. Preacher, pray about this. Preacher, got to do something about this. Do you know who can pray better than anybody else? The one that's closest to the person. You know who the one that can win somebody to the Lord better than anybody else is? The one that's closest to them a lot of times. Because they have a greater burden. Nobody can carry the burden for your lost loved ones like you can. Nobody can pray for your children like you can. Nobody can pray for your family and your neighbors and the people that you love and want to be saved like you, because you know them. You're closest to them. And so the Lord dealt with this father. And so we see there's a possibility here in these verses. If thou canst do anything. But Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, number three, we see there's an honest prayer. I like the genuineness of the Father. He doesn't try to pretend to be something he's not. He's just honest with the Lord. And he cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. How is that even possible to have the same? Those two things are directly contradictory one to another. How can you have the two things in one sentence? Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. This man evidently knew what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for others. We've already seen in the book of Mark in these previous chapters the fame and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ had been made known throughout the whole area. I pointed out several times Jesus healed a blind man, healed a leper, calmed the storm, all these things. And he cast out demons in chapter number 5, said, don't tell anybody. But they went out and blazed abroad the matter. That happened in chapter number 1, in so much that he could no more enter into the city, but was without in desert places. There wasn't a building in the town that was big enough to hold the Lord Jesus. I mean, everybody knew he could. They knew about his works. They knew about his miracles. So he believed that the Lord could. He had heard about it. Maybe he'd even met people that the Lord had healed. But here's where we run into a problem, that the Lord would do this for me. That's what's hard to believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I've heard all these great things. I believe you've done that. I believe you fed the multitudes. I believe you calmed the storm. I believe you healed the blind man. But my situation is harder than everybody else's situation. Isn't that how we are? Oh, but what I'm going through. You're not going through anything that somebody else hasn't already been through. Doesn't matter what it is. We've all said this before. Go down the hospital, somebody's in worse shape. There's always, we've been through. But he knew the Lord had done this for others, but to do it for me. That's where we run into, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I don't think I've told this yet at the church, but we helped get that Bible shipment that was caught up in customs in the Philippines. Helped to get it out of customs and delivered to the church. That's been back just a couple, I don't even think it's been 2 months ago. Well, hadn't heard anything much about it, but I got a message from the church over there. And then Brother Jeff also sent me a message, and then I talked to Brother Jeff confirming what happened with that shipment of Bibles and tracts. When they got those Bibles and those tracts over there in the Philippines, Brother Nono's church, they went out on a mass distribution. And in one day, they had 140 or 150 people saved. Do you believe that? Well, I have no problem at all believing that. They had 100, I think it was right at 150 souls saved. So, Lord, I believe, praise the Lord. That doesn't even surprise me that the Lord was able to do that. But do you think that, let's not even say a day. What about all the Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, witnessing churches in Watauga County, all of us together? Not in a day, but in 100 days. Do you think the Lord will save 100 people, 150 people in the next 100 days? Well, see what I mean? Well, he could. Could the Lord do that if he wanted to? Sure he could. Did he do it over there? I believe with all my heart. And then they were going out the next day doing the same thing. There ain't no telling how many people's got saved. But to do it here. See, that's where we run into the problem in our faith. Lord, I believe you can do that over there, but to do that here. Would God do that? Well, look what Jesus said in verse 24. He said, verse number 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. See, that's where we mess up, is the believing part. But there's just an honest prayer. And then the man said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now, like this, the Lord didn't rebuke the father. He didn't rake him over the coals and belittle him. He just said, if you can believe, it's possible. The Lord wasn't there to run him down. The Lord wanted with all of his heart to help him. And the Lord wants to help us with our unbelief as well. So there's just an honest prayer. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And then last of all, tonight there is a searching question. Verse number 25. The Bible said when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Praise the Lord. There's no devil able that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot cast out. There's nothing that he cannot do. And so he healed this boy. And I like that he said, enter no more into him. That boy wasn't in the same shape a week from then. He had been delivered. But then we come down in verse number 28. The Bible said, and when he was come into the house his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Of course, they'd want to know that. Verse 29, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And so we read over that. That's easy to just read over. Oh, well, just prayer and fasting. But there's a whole lot in that. But that's serious. Prayer and fasting. But then I look over in Matthew chapter number 17. There's another piece of the puzzle. Look over there and we'll read a couple of verses and I'll be done tonight. There's another part to this. Jesus said, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And so the disciples didn't just run out and pray and fast. The Lord Jesus lived his life where he had a powerful prayer life all the time. Preacher Art Greer used to say, you'd better keep a short account. Keep your sins confessed up. Somebody comes and asks you, I need you to pray. You shouldn't have to spend 2 or 3 days repenting in order to get to the place where you feel like you can pray for somebody. Somebody's depending on you to pray all the time. We don't know before we go to bed tonight. We might get one of them phone calls. Pray. This is serious. We have responsibility one to another to keep ourselves where we can pray. But we look over in Matthew chapter 17 in verse number 19. The Bible said, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. That's why they couldn't do it. They didn't believe. So there's prayer and fasting, but over here, Jesus just plainly said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, I don't know what the difference was with the disciples. They had been and they had prayed before and they'd cast out devils before. Maybe this was just more intimidating than anything they'd ever seen before. And it stumped them. We're like that sometimes. Well, we've seen the Lord answer prayer and answer prayer and answer prayer, but then something comes along, man, this is big. They had whatever it was, we don't know, but the Lord said, because of your unbelief. I sprayed around the house weed killer last week. And every time I do that, I think unbelief is like that weed killer. Everything can be growing and going along fine, and my driveway gets full of weeds and clover and all that stuff, and I don't like that. I spray it on that, and I say every time, I say, well, I hope that stuff works. Next morning, I get up and I look out, and I can see them out there. They're all going, starting out, and I say, well, it's going to work on them. That's what unbelief does to our prayer life. It kills it. It shrivels it up. It dries it up to where there's nothing left but crumbs. But belief is like miracle growth. You put the right fertilizer at the right time on your flowers, on your plant, whatever it is. And boy, I went out to the garden today, and I'm watching my potatoes. I'm watching my corn. And just on Monday, I could just barely see potatoes start to jump out of the ground. I went out there today, and it looked like somebody just pumped them up overnight. I mean, they're 6 or 8 inches high. And I walked by the corn, and I'd fertilized last week, and I thought to myself, boy, that corn, it just looks like it's jumped up overnight. Faith does that for us spiritually. It causes us to grow. It causes us to bring forth fruit. It protects us from attack and disease and all of them things. But there's either faith, we've got faith and we believe, or we've got unbelief. And what's that old saying? You can pray, believe, and receive. Or you can pray, doubt, and do without. That's how it is. Pray, doubt, and do without. Jesus said, as a grain of mustard seed. Now, that's small. That's not asking for the greatest faith in the world. Jesus said, if you have faith, as a grain of mustard seed, just a little bit of faith, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Faith. The key to unlocking heaven's treasure chest is faith. Belief. I'll tell you this and I'll close. John R. Rice said in his book on prayer, he said, I don't remember exactly how he phrased it, but he said, I wonder if up in heaven there'll be great, great buildings full of things. We might ask, Lord, what's in there? And the Lord would say, that's all the things I was ready to give in answer to prayer. But unbelief kept it locked up. And so there it is. Faith. Faith. The Word of God ought to increase our faith. Studying the book of Mark ought to increase our faith. It looks impossible unto us, but it's not impossible with the Lord. It ought to increase our faith. So I pray.